Laura Hopkins has had it.
I know it's not over, but I cannot live like this.
Her grandmother died just as the lockdown began, and they couldn't hold a funeral. Her grandfather, her papa, is alone and grieving. She can't hug her dad or her sister. And for weeks, she and her wife have socially isolated themselves inside their Dallas home with two dogs. Hopkins isn't ready to head out to restaurants or bars, but she can no longer find the willpower to stay away from friends. So she's going camping.
Yeah, I'm just going to go. Forget it. Forget the hand sanitizer. Forget the mask. Forget being safe all the time. Like, I would rather strictly quarantine for 15 days after getting out and living a quote-unquote normal life than to stay here one more day.
Hopkins is probably suffering from quarantine fatigue. Dr. Madhukar Trivedi is the director of UT Southwestern's Center for Depression Research and Clinical Care, and he says the symptoms are easy to spot.
People who are willing to take more risks gather together with people for dinner, and then when you ask more detail, they recognize that this is a risk, but they feel so stir-crazy in the house. They get drawn out, and then they see other people doing it, and they feel like maybe it is okay.
While quarantine fatigue is not an official diagnosis, it's something physicians recognize. Dr. Trivedi says there's a ticking clock inside each of us that measures how much stress and loneliness we can actually handle. Feelings of loneliness build up over time, faster in some than others, and not everyone can be comforted by a Zoom call.
While everybody tells them you should do virtual contacts, but it's not the same and it's not easy. It is different from the way we deal with when we physically see each other.
That's something that really resonates with Hopkins.
Like, it makes me feel worse to see all their faces on a screen, and it does not bring the same level of comfort or joy or honestly just a release of energy to get on a Skype call.
With the economy opening back up, people will leave isolation craving contact with the outside world. And that could make things tricky for public health professionals who continue to encourage social distancing practices, even as people are allowed to gather again. Kayla Fair is an assistant professor at the School of Public Health at the University of North Texas.
My focus really is human behavior and how we can help individuals to make the healthiest choice the easiest choice.
Fair says when it comes to public health, people get lax when their perception of risk goes down. Maybe they think the danger has passed, or maybe wearing a mask in public is uncomfortable. She says the angle is to find ways to promote that we're still all in this together and to veer away from negativity.
We don't want to create an environment where there's a lot of fear and people don't feel like they have the tools to mitigate these risks.
But for people suffering from quarantine fatigue, it's often hard to summon the strength to even follow basic rules of public health. The endless hand washing, the masks, those 6-foot buffers. Fair says emotional health is an important part of the equation.
I think a lot of what we're seeing now, people are tired, people are lonely.
Months of isolation and dismal economic news have taken their toll. And Dr. Trivedi says the long road stretching ahead of us means quarantine fatigue may eventually touch all our lives.
I am convinced that the COVID-19 pandemic will wind down. But the mental health pandemic is just beginning, and it is going to last longer.
For Laura Hopkins, keeping her spirits up during this time of great restriction has been a tough go.
So for now, I stay at home, and I grocery shop, and I go see my papa, and I hope and hope and hope and hope that this will be over soon.
For her, at least, it's becoming clear that as the pandemic goes on, willpower is running out. I'm Paige Phelps in Dallas.